ABC's Word Wizard, the Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.
Indeed, it's that time of year when we're surrounded by Christmas carols, trees, baubles, tinsels and the like. But where did these words originate? Earl of the Erudite, Prince of Pronunciation, Viscount of the Vernacular and Lord of Language, Professor Rolly Sussex, good evening.
Good evening.
Christmas, yes. It is one of those sort of rare times of year when we have an entire language that surrounds it that we don't use at any other time. Easter doesn't really have the same litany of language around it. I can't think of another time where we really have words that we use that we don't really use at any other time.
I was going to suggest the last Saturday in September.
Of footy finals time.
Footy final time.
Yes. No, well, maybe. Yes.
You're absolutely right. Christmas is very special, and it's very special in every language that I've ever looked at. Because there's all sorts of things like, I mean, wassail, for example, W-A-S-S-A-I-L, going wassailing, meaning you go and sing carols in front of people.
Oh, wassailing, where's that from?
That's English and very wassail. Old word. But it also means mulled ale.
Oh.
Or mulled wine, which they
maybe you did the wassailing while you were wassailing.
I think probably one was accompanied by the other.
But again, made it more fun.
This is some of the things. And again, at Christmas there are other traditions. For example, in Polish, because my wife was Polish, and at Christmas you always set an extra place at the table so that if someone happens to call by, you can include them in your gathering for Christmas dinner.
Oh, what a lovely tradition
and
that is.
It's just a small detail, but which very much is in the spirit of the thing.
Yeah, I love that.
And there's things like, you know, the nine lessons and carols from G. King's College, Cambridge, which are very much part of the Christmas events and things. And, of course, you know, all of the words relating to Christmas Eve and then Christmas and Boxing Day, which have now been locked down. And so, by the way, has a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now, the first time I found this was in the first ever printed Christmas cards in 1843. Now, I would have thought that it should be a Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year, because New Year is when you get a little merry.
Merry.
Yes. Mm. But the early Christmas cards had Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, and that sequence has now become locked down and we don't do anything else. So it's part of the, as you say, the Christmas vocabulary that we plug in and we use intensively for 2 or 3 weeks. And then with the Christmas decorations on January the 6th, it goes away for another year.
Indeed. Now, Rolly, we want people to give us a call tonight, 1300 222 612. You can text if you like as well, 0467 922 612, just to tell us how you say Merry Christmas, Happy Christmas, whatever it might be, in another language, whether you speak it or not. It might be your first language. It might be a language that your mum or dad spoke, or your grandparents, for example. How do you say Merry Christmas in different languages tonight? Be part of our conversation on A Word in Your Ear. So, Rolly, first the word Christmas itself. What are its origins?
It's Christ's Mass. As simple as that. Mass, you know, the service in the church, and so Christ's Mass.
Well, why for this particular celebration? Do we know? Because Christ's Mass could be every Sunday.
It could be every Sunday, but this was the birth of something really quite special. On the other hand, Christmas itself on the 25th of December was only decided in 336 AD, when the Emperor Constantine, who was busy installing Christianity throughout the Roman Empire, they did some calculations from the Bible and worked out that this was the probable date. But that was only okay according to what was later the Gregorian calendar, because in the Orthodox Church they follow the older Julian calendar, and Christmas is on January the 7th.
Okay, so that's why there's a difference between the two.
Yes. Easter is sometimes the same with the Orthodox Church and the non-Orthodox churches, but Christmas is always different.
Okay, so Christmas, 336 AD.
336 AD.
It's been the same date for the Gregorian calendar. That's a long time ago.
It's a long time. But as we get on to the wishing people Happy Christmas, there's one group of languages that concentrates on the birth of Christ. So Buon Natale. In Italian, Natale, the nat bit is related to nativity, which means birth. So Buon Natale in Spanish, it's Feliz Navidad. Mm-hmm. Navidad.
Right? What a great song.
Oh,
by the
yes,
way.
It was. French Joyeux Noël. Mm-hmm. And in fact, it comes from the same source. It's just gone through rather more sound changes over the years. Mm-hmm. And again, in Russian, С Рождеством Христовым. Рождество is birth, and Христовым is of Christ. So, you know, with Christ's birth. When you get to the Scandinavian countries, they concentrate on the Yuletide log.
Right.
Because Yule, which mm-hmm. in Swedish is J-U-L, was an old pagan celebration for basically the bottom of winter, around about December 21, 22, when the sun stops, you know, mm-hmm. the solstice, which
yes.
means literally solsta, sun stands. And from that point on, the days start getting longer and, you know, the rebirth is somewhere down the track. Right?
Yes.
So in Swedish, it is God Jul.
God Jul.
Which is happy Yuletide log. Yule mm-hmm. is Christmas, all right? And here's the first of my interesting ones. Finnish, which is a language totally unrelated to Swedish, but Finland was governed by the Swedes for several hundred years. In Finnish, it's Hyvää Joulua. And Joulua is obviously Yule, which they borrowed from Swedish. So, you know, sometimes, yeah. as in the case of Russian, you use your own words to talk about the birth of Christ. But in this case, you know, the Finns have borrowed the word for a major Christmas celebration from the language next door. And so do the Czechs.
What do they say?
Well, in German, it is Fröhliche Weihnachten. Weihnachten is Holy Nights. And in Czech, it's Veselé Vánoce. And Vánoce is obviously Weihnachten. And, of course, German and Czech, they are related, but not that closely.
I love the way you say obviously. Well, like we all know, Rolly, I'm thinking, I don't think that was obvious to me.
All right. But these languages have made some adjustments to their own sound pattern.
Yep.
When you get to Japanese, it is kurisumasu. Kurisumasu. Because Japanese doesn't like consonants together, and krisma. Mm-hmm. And these are unpronounceable in Japanese.
Yeah.
My name, Sussex, is Sasekaso. Because you need vowels to make it pronounceable.
Oh, so, lovely.
So, kurisumasu.
Kurisumasu.
Which is, we've got most of the sounds of English Christmas. In fact, no, we've got all of them. But we've put vowels in the middle to make them fit the Japanese way a syllable is made up.
Hmm.
And in Maori, it is kirihimete in New Zealand. Kirihimete. Mm-hmm. I rather like that.
That's nice.
Now, the thing about Maori is that they don't have an S sound in the language. They can say S, and when they do the haka, they make an S sound. It's part of the S to terrify the opposition. But obviously it doesn't belong in with Christmas. So kirihimete, which runs beautifully off the tongue. And Hawaiian is another Polynesian language which doesn't have an S, and it is haoli kalikimata. Sorry, kalikimaka. Kalikimaka.
Kalikimaka.
Yeah. Mm. Which, again, is using the sounds that the language makes available, and so they've adjusted the word Christmas to fit, all of which is rather nice.
Well, it is, and it speaks to the reach of Christmas around the world that so many languages have either created a word or adopted mm-hmm. or changed a word to describe that season.
It's in the spirit of a Christian celebration.
Yes.
Which is not what's happened with Santa.
What's happened with Santa?
Well, Santa comes from Dutch, and mm-hmm. in Dutch is actually a dialect of German, which was spoken in America in the early years. Sinterklaas is St. Nicholas,
mm-hmm.
Sinterklaas. And Sinterklaas obviously gives you Santa.
Mm. Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. So we've actually gone from St. Nicholas, who was a bishop in the 4th century in Turkey, mm-hmm. who was a rather thin man who wore animal pelts and things, and went around at Christmas giving alms to the poor.
Oh, lovely.
Which was nice.
Yes.
And so he has come, I'm sure he'd be rather bemused to find that his name has been now given to an overweight, bearded,
big, jolly, fat man. Yes.
Which, by the way, we owe to Coca-Cola. Because in the 1930s, Coke wanted a new advertising symbol, and they commissioned an American-Swedish cartoonist called Sundblom to do something, and he basically took the colours of Coca-Cola, which is red and white, and turned Santa from a slim 4th century man dressed in animal pelts to an overweight, cheery, bearded, whatever we have now.
He basically did the opposite
Pretty much so.
Oh, who St. Nicholas
and
was.
And an early Christian divine, St. Nicholas. I mean, because he was sainted because he did wonderful things. The almost as radical is Kris Kringle.
Yes.
Which is an American term for Santa Claus, which comes from the German Christkindlein, which means Christ child. So Christkindlein gives you Kris Kringle. And we've gone from Christ to Santa, who is a commercial invention.
Yes.
And so these things, I mean, a lot of people don't know that. They talk about Kris Kringle.
Yeah, well, Kris Kringle has been made to be that that gift-giving that you might do in an office where you all drag a name out of a hat and that's the person you're spending $10 on as a Christmas office swap or school or something like that.
Yep.
That to me is how Kris Kringle's now used rather than...
In this country, certainly.
Yeah.
But I'm the Americans...
Overseas, no?
Overseas in America, yes. Used quite widely.
Yep.
And then there are songs about it. I think there's one sung by Danny Kaye at one stage. And he wasn't American at all. He was Polish. His name was Kaminski, but never mind. That's another story. Krampus.
Krampus
is an evil Austrian spirit from folklore who goes around being punishing children who haven't been good.
Oh, so he's the keep them in line.
Keep them in line.
Demon.
Punish the bad ones.
Yes.
To get things for Christmas. Yes. Grinch, on the other hand, is Dr. Seuss.
So do we know if there was a word Grinch before Dr. Seuss?
According to all the dictionaries that I've looked at, no.
Wow, what a great word, Grinch.
Grinch, it sounds mean and nasty and unhappy. And I personally think that he was thinking about Scrooge. Scrooge, Grinch, they've got the same kind of nasty feel about them. How the Grinch Stole Christmas is Dr. Seuss in 1957. And he invented a word which has now become standard currency. And it's escaped from America and is now used a bit in this country, not as much as they do in America.
There is Grinch paraphernalia everywhere at Christmas now, Rolly. Yeah. It even 5 years ago, not so much. It is everywhere. And I've been watching on TikTok, etc. People will dress as the Grinch and then go to Christmas celebrations and scare the heck out of children.
Yeah.
Which is really bad and really funny simultaneously.
Well, the Grinch was green and sort of triangular.
Oh, and awful miserable. Looking. Yes, children run screaming.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of the mythology of Christmas is not only good things but also scary ones.
Exactly.
Interesting that it's so complicated. But the word Christmas itself has been having a rough time recently. President Obama was in the White House for 8 years, and they have an annual White House Christmas card.
Yes.
And he never once used the word Christmas. It was always happy holidays or season's greetings or whatever. Again, the idea being that saying the word Christmas might give offence to people who were not Christians.
Well, it's meaningless to you. Well, it's not meaningless. That's wrong because I have a Christian background. But if you're Jewish or Muslim or I don't know, any other religion in the world, all the hundreds of them, then it means nothing to you if you get a card saying Merry Christmas.
No, but I like Christmas. I mean, various places in Australia, some particularly in the UK, by the way, they tried to avoid carols which mention Good King Wenceslas or things like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you're left with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know.
Yeah.
Which is a great loss, I mean, because the carols are part of a long tradition which has made us what we are.
Yeah.
And I remember I was in Penang in Malaysia, which is a Muslim country.
Yeah.
And there was a great big Christmas tree and lots of ladies in hijabs and kids wandering around and Hark the Herald Angels Sing on the PA. And I thought, that is a multicultural country.
Well, it is. I suppose the Muslim faith see Christ as a prophet, so it's maybe that plays maybe into that nicely. Yeah. But maybe it's just the idea of Christmas, of time when we're nice to each other, hopefully. And
well, hopefully. I send good wishes to my Jewish friends at the end of Hanukkah and to my Muslim friends at the end of
Eid. Must be close to Hanukkah, if not.
And they reciprocate. And this is my feeling about the way I'd like Australia to be, but it's a personal view.
Yeah. Well, I think it's shared by most people.
I would have think so.
Now, a question here from Adrian. And he says, Rolly, there's an old-fashioned British Christmas greeting, glad tidings.
Yes.
In the 17th century, when Oliver Cromwell banned excessive seasonal celebrations, because he was the Grinch of his time, obviously, the holy day was also known as Christtide. Easter was called Eastertide.
Yes.
Adrian at Sunnybank.
Well done.
One. Glad tidings. Old, so what are tidings?
An old Norse word, which probably came to England with the Danelaw around the 8th, 9th century, and it means event or news. So glad tidings is good news.
Oh, lovely.
Which is rather nice. Mm. And he's dead right about Cromwell. Charles I was beheaded and under the protectorate, Cromwell took over. They were a humourless lot. They shut all the theatres and they cancelled Christmas from 1653 to 58, which meant that Christmas was still kept as a religious event, which was fine, but there should be no eating, drinking, carousing or whatever, and Christmas was a normal business day, except that you went to church.
Right.
In 1660...
Well, they sound great.
Well, yeah, they were a bit flat. And in 1660, Charles II came to the throne and reinstated Christmas and everything else.
Well done, Charles II. Yes.
But when did St. Nicholas become Santa? Now, 'twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. In the stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. And that's Clement Clark Moore, an American poet in 1822.
Okay. See, so, I would have thought we're talking in the early 1900s, but maybe not.
I think the swap over was possibly a bit later than that. But certainly St. Nicholas, in 1822, this is a piece of American
yes.
folklore, no. The date is already December the 24th, not as it is in some countries, December the 6th, when the Dutch give gifts on December the 6th, not the 24th. And the Poles do on Christmas Eve, and we do on the 25th, which is Christmas Day.
Yes.
So in my house, we had two Christmases, gastronomically as well as...
Well, that sounds perfect. See, we always set aside one gift that can be opened the night before.
Yes, that's very nice.
Yeah.
So Christmas is a time of celebration of language as well. And a lot of the meanings of carols, the word carol comes from French. No one knows where it came from originally in Old French, but it came to us. And it's got all sorts of rather old verses and words and things. On the Feast of Even, when the snow lay round and about, deep and crisp and even. And we know these things, we remember them, we learnt them. But we never sing carols except at Christmastide.
This is true.
Christmastide.
If I was to play a Christmas carol in May, people would be like, I would get texts. There would be calls, Rolly, like, what are you doing? It's bad enough that we've got to live through this all through December. Now you're doing it in May.
Yeah.
I might do it in May just to see what happens.
Well, it would be an interesting experiment.
It really would.
Because... I mean, in the sense that the spirit of Christmas is meant to live through the year in Christian behaviour and so on.
Yes.
You might remind people a little bit.
It might just annoy them.
Right. Here's another Christmas word, Epiphany, which is the 6th of January. And that is the day where it comes from a Greek word meaning to reveal.
Yes.
But it is traditionally the day when you pack up the Christmas decorations, take the tree down, put the Christmas cards, such as they are nowadays. And by the way, Denmark has just cancelled postal deliveries.
Oh, what?
There will be no paper Christmas cards in Denmark. They will have parcel deliveries, but there will be no more post.
Right.
Now, I can remember living in London and having three deliveries a day around Christmas. The poor old postman would be standing there covered in
exhausted.
Snow.
Exhausted.
Yeah. But they would...
None in Denmark.
None in Denmark.
Wow.
And this is, I think, the sign of the times. They found that the postal service was just not paying.
Well, now, I suppose ours is every second day.
Pretty much.
Now,
and
isn't
in
it?
New Zealand, I think it's two times a week.
Yeah.
But, of course, the postal service began in 1840 with Sir Roland Milne, I think it was, and Christmas cards in 1843. So that, it's had a pretty good run, but it's interesting that it's getting to the point where some countries feel that it's no longer paying its way.
Yeah.
But we used to get, in my house, 150 Christmas cards, and you put them on the mantelpiece. When the mantelpiece was full, you strung up strings and had them festooned around the house.
100? 150?
Yeah.
How well-liked was your family? That's amazing.
Well, we used to send a lot overseas as well. Oh, but okay. Here's another interesting thing. Mm. I've asked lots of my friends who married and partnered friends. In your house, who writes the Christmas cards?
But the woman does.
You're dead right.
Yeah.
Because women are better at warm, emotional language. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, the thing is, look, you can do Uncle Bob. He's your side of the family. I'll do the rest.
Mm. You know what? I think if I was to write Christmas cards, Rolly, and just put blah, 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 love Kelly and Craig and Mackenzie, my friends would all understand.
They would.
Write your own warm, fuzzy message here.
Well, I'm pushing back. I have a Christmas card which consists of a Christmas lily, a peace lily which I grew and photographed, and I did it on Photoshop.
Yeah.
I then printed it on good quality paper, and I write a handwritten message on the back.
Aww.
So I'm being as personal as I can at Christmas.
That's lovely.
But I'm a bit over the top, maybe.
No, I feel like
a
Grinch.
But I will send you one of the Christmas lily because
love that.
Peace lily. It's very beautiful.
Thank you. Okay, another question from Cheryl at Yorkie's Not Sharing. Rolly and Kel loving this. Since Rolly has had a Polish wife, please ask him to say Merry Christmas in Polish.
Wesołych Świąt. Wesołych Świąt. Which means joyful holy days.
Oh, lovely. And my husband is Scottish. Is there a Merry Christmas in Scotland? I don't know what that would be, but if somebody's of Scottish descent and they can tell us.
In particular, if they can tell us in Gaelic.
Gaelic.
In Gaelic. The Gaelic.
Gaelic.
Yes, we'd like to hear.
Mm. 1300-222-612.
Yeah.
Do that. How about tinsel? The stuff tinsel. Of the devil.
It comes from French. The word étincelle means to sparkle.
Oh.
So that's quite good and appropriate, and we've adjusted it a little bit.
What's the word for to annoy in French? Do you know what that is?
No.
To antagonise?
Empêcher,
oui. Well, we should use that instead of tinsel. Because
Well, I don't know. Tinsel, yeah.
I'm not a tinsel fan.
You're not a tinsel fan?
No.
No?
No, it just gets everywhere. No. Baubles?
Baubles, another French word, meaning a child's toy originally.
That's fair.
So some of these are rather nice. And again, I find it really interesting that bits of Christmas, say in Scandinavia, go back to a pre-Christian pagan rite, which was related to the seasons. After all, Eostre, which is the name of the god who gave us Easter, was a pagan goddess of fertility, which is probably why we have Easter bunnies.
That's it.
He was certainly fertile.
An estrogen.
Yes. Well, the yen bit, that's the Greek bit. But yeah, they're definitely related. Christmas is very special, and if anyone has a Christmas wish that they'd like to give us in another language,
please do.
Love to hear it.
You have some homework, Professor Rolly.
Yes. John, a listener who's got a very sharp ear, said, look, nowadays a cooper is someone who makes barrels.
Mm.
Where did the coop come from? And there was a word, C-U-P-E, cooper, in Old and Middle English, which meant, now this is curious, a basket or a container or a vat or a tub.
Hmm.
So it was something which held things.
Yes.
Nowadays, a coop, of course, is a chicken coop. It's a kind of, well, it contains chickens. It stops them running around and digging up your veg. But this early word, meaning a container of one kind or another, gradually became more specialised in the person who did it. So a cooper cannot now refer to someone who makes baskets or anything like that, but it only refers to a barrel maker.
Oh, very good.
Just as Fletcher is someone who puts the arrows, the feathers in arrows.
That's a very
specialised thing.
Yes, it really is, isn't it?
If you got your arrow true, the arrow would not fly straight.
That's it.
And you might not hit the people you were trying to aim at, or possibly the Christmas deer.
Love it. We have one more session this year, Professor Rolly.
Oh.
So I will see you next Monday night.
I look forward to that. This is I so much enjoy Monday night because it's a self-indulgence of conversation.
It is. It's lovely.
I hope all the listeners feel that way as well. I've got a last word. What do you call a kid who doesn't believe in Santa?
What?
A rebel without a clause.
I like that one. Now, Rolly, before you go, Liam from Bribie Island can help us out with saying Merry Christmas in Gaelic. Hi, Liam.
Hi there. Yes, to say Happy Christmas in Irish Gaelic or Scots Gaelic is Nollag Conaghuit.
Nollag Conaghuit?
Yeah, three words, nullag.
Yes.
Conna grit.
Thank you very much.
Nullag conna grit.
Yes.
I'm in the ballpark.
and you've made our day with something definitely I didn't know before. Thank you, Liam.
You're most welcome. See you guys.
Bye. Liam at Bribey Island.
There you go.
Good to know.
Bribey was absolutely pummeled last week with those.
Oh, I know.
I have friends up there who say there were trees still over the roads.
Yeah.
Days later, and people had bits of their house blown away.
Yeah.
Not funny.
Not good at all. Indeed. Rolly Sussex, thank you. I'll talk to you again next Monday night.
We will celebrate a pre-Christmas.
We shall.
The ABC's Word Wizard. The Lord of Language. Professor Rolly Sussex with A Word in Your Ear.